Welcome to Marriage, Let's Talk. Hosted by legendary worldwide marriage encounter leader, Father Rosie Roseborough. Featuring Catholic married couples from around the world who demonstrate healthy communication for building better marriages. And now, here's Father Rosie.
Hi, Father Rosie here. I'm glad you could join us today. This podcast is not talking about marriage. It is where we're going to share how to create a better marriage through communicating feelings in authentic ways.
What did the children have to say about you being on a podcast?
Yeah. What did they say? They haven't said much. They noticed the way Jennifer like goes, ah, or something. The little things they notice is strange. Nothing profound though, Father. Nothing profound.
But you know, Father Rosie, afterwards, I'm going to have to send you a photo of Ian. So we just this past weekend had a weekend experience and Ian asked if he could come and we say, no, you can't come. So he was disappointed. But then he said,
we were putting together the name tags.
And he was like, well, I'm going to make my own name tag. And so he made his own name tag with the symbols and everything. So
it usually has the in larger print would have the person's name, and then in smaller print, it would have the spouse's name. So his says Ian, and then it says,
who knows?
Who knows as far as the spouse?
Have a good weekend?
Yes, we had, it was wonderful. It was our first weekend back in a hotel since COVID.
Okay, so wow.
It was a very meaningful to us. And it was a rookie weekend. Our first set three. The set two's first set two, and everyone's rookie.
It's like our first time presenting our new set.
Yeah. Wow.
It was great.
And how many couples?
A great bunch of people.
How many couples made the experience?
It was 13.
13. A priest, but he had to leave. But we had a priest as well, which was very exciting.
Fantastic. Yes. Awesome.
Have you done any weekends recently?
Not since the 29th of, no, yeah, for 29th of, 24th, 25th of January.
Of January. Oh, okay.
I came back and then I gave one here in St. Louis the 4th to the 6th of February. So okay. I'll be quiet now until August.
Until August.
Unless I'm saying masses every weekend now. If they tell me in advance, I could probably possibly put it in there, but it depends upon somebody wanted in Michigan, for example, and they wanted in 2 weeks, a priest got sick and I cannot.
Right.
I couldn't ditch the poor guy who I'm taking place of.
Yeah.
At that time. So, yes.
Okay.
So, what topic have you chosen?
So, the question we asked was, how do I feel when I am tired?
Besides tired.
Exactly.
That's right.
That was my answer.
Yeah. I'm tired of being tired.
Tired of being tired, yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, okay, go ahead. Do your love letter and go from there.
Do you want me to go first?
Please, why don't you go first?
Okay. So, dear Patrick, when I am tired, depending on why I'm tired, I may experience different feelings. But since most recently I've been tired from work and illness, my strongest feeling is irritable. My irritable feeling as an image would be that camel where one more straw would break its back. My irritable feeling sounds like the grumbling of the kettle with the water just about to boil, and I'm bracing myself for the shrill whistle to come. A physical sensation of irritable are the bothersome gnats that keep circling and hitting my face on a hot, sticky summer afternoon, and I keep swatting them away without success. When I feel irritable, nothing seems quite right. And I seem to see flaws everywhere and in everything. Irritable is how I feel when we gather to say our bedtime prayer with the boys. I'm ready to pray and then hit the sack, but everyone else is still talking and talking and talking. It's like a neon sign that keeps flickering on and off in a seizure-inducing manner. My irritable feeling would say, oh, not one more thing. Love, Jenny.
And I wrote, "Dear Jenny, this is a good question. I often feel burnt out and tired at the end of any given day, especially weekdays. Between my work and the kids' activities, I don't have much gas in the tank by the end of the day. So how do I feel when I'm tired? I feel tired. I feel vulnerable. I feel crippled, and I feel rushed. My strongest feeling is crippled. Sometimes I recognize that I am tired, other times I don't, but either way, I'm not functioning at my best, and unfortunately, you and the kids suffer the price. My crippled feeling on a scale of intensity is an 8 out of 10. My feeling sounds like a sad violin solo. My crippled feeling would be like having one hand tied behind my back and having to box Mike Tyson. If my feeling were a color, it would be pitch black. My crippled feeling would be like a sports car pulling an 18-wheeler. It would smell like burnt rubber and sound like tire screeching as it inches forward. An example in the past of when my crippled feeling was when I was sick with the flu and had to drive 3 hours for a family event. If my feeling was walking down the street, it would be limping, dragging its leg, carrying a rucksack. My crippled feeling would say, "Ah, oh, this is too much." Love, Patrick.
Okay, so yours is crippled.
And yours is irritable.
So which one should we talk about?
It's a good question. I like your expression. It's like, I know exactly. You know, it's like when it's time to go to bed. That's when the kids really want to talk about like
about their
meaningful
life.
Things. And then I'm like, ooh. And you're like, So I know often we've had many conversations about that. You would like the family prayer time.
That's
to go and then talk after.
Yeah. At the same time, like your images are super strong, like having a car that's trying to pull an 18-wheeler and like having a rucksack on your back. I don't know. Like, do you feel like you said it's an 8 out of 10.
It's pretty strong. Yeah. Cause it's interesting. Cause you know, with the other, as I was thinking about how I feel,
yeah.
You know, I mentioned vulnerable,
right?
You're tired. You're not at your best.
Yeah.
I feel rushed. Kind of like I said, like, kind of like you're saying, it's kind of want to like get through. You're like, oh, not another thing. Like, I just want to get through it. But then I thought about it, and I think crippled is kind of really what ends up happening, is that I'm disabled.
Like feeling wise, though. It's not just physically.
Well, no, I'm not crippled. Yeah. I just like it. The tiredness disables me from being at my best.
I see.
Right. It hinders me.
I see.
You know, so when I saw that, when that feeling came to my mind, I was like, yeah, that's
what it is.
And it's crippling. Yeah. So we talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
So you already told me a little bit more. And you share some images. And you share that example of, you know, when you have the flu and then you have to drive. Can you and you said it's like pitch black. Can you tell me more about that? Why is it like, why did you select pitch black as the color?
I just think it's dark. It's like, it's, there's like nothing else in it. You know, it's just, to me, it's just, you know, it's just black.
Mm.
And I was like, pitch black. You know? So, you know, because I think about thinking colors, it's like no color comes to mind.
Mm.
So that's when.
So it's not so much black, but it's like devoid of color.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, sure.
That's pretty intense. Would you say that this crippling feeling is mostly linked to a physical state, and then therefore you feel like crippled, or it doesn't have to be physical?
You know, I said that sometimes I might realize that I'm tired.
Yeah.
Or that I don't know, I might not know that I'm tired. But either way, like I said, I'm not functioning at my best. So it's not a physical, I don't have to be like actually tired.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what it does to me when I'm tired. Right. So it cripples me. Mm. Right. The my feeling ends up becoming right. It hinders me from being able to be my best. Mm. And that then the tiredness is, you know, what usually triggers that,
it.
Right. But it's not a physical, it's not like, you know, I stayed up all night and I'm like, eyes are droopy and you know, and like that kind of thing. It's more psychological of its effect.
I was thinking of I don't remember I don't know if you remember that time when it was like a Saturday and we're like, it was literally event after event after event after event, and you and I have to like divide and conquer, and I have to like take care of some like Ian, and you have to take care of Logan, and we're driving everywhere, who's gonna get lunch, you know? And then I thought I was gonna get lunch, I got lunch, and then you then came to the choir parking lot and then brought lunch, and we're like, what are you doing? And then
I remember that earlier that day, because it started like you said, it was all day, we were in the driveway.
Yeah.
And I was like, we had to like, who's going to do what?
What? Yeah.
Where? And I'm just like, what are we? I was just standing there like, I don't know. What
right.
am I?
Yeah. And I was like that too. I'm like, and we got to go.
Right. Right. So then you were like, okay, you go do this and I'll go do that. And then we'll meet at
choir. Yeah. But then we ended up both buying lunch.
Right. Right.
Is that a crippling feeling, or I don't know?
I think at that moment, when I was like, there was a stress, and there's the busyness that was there. Mm-hmm. I think there was a specific moment where I didn't know, like I wasn't even thinking anymore. I couldn't use my brain.
Yeah.
Right. And it wasn't operating. And
yeah.
I'm just like, ugh. And that's not something I'm used to.
Yeah.
Right. That's something I'm comfortable. You know, I like to always know what's happening. I have my plans. Right. It's always, I got my, you know, I'd be like, okay, I'll be home by, you know, 4, you know, 2:35.
Yeah.
And then we'll go and we'll have 10 minutes to get food.
Right.
But I was really like, my brain was not operating at all.
Yeah.
So I think it was pretty crippling. It was
definitely,
I think you're experiencing my feeling of crippling.
Love you, honey.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was thinking you were taking me, my feelings are going all over the place, and I was thinking identifying lack of oxygen in blood.
Mm.
You know, your blood's pumping, but there's no oxygen in the tank.
Yeah.
It doesn't, or if I come at the last one, is that you don't have any Freon in the air conditioner anymore.
He's leaking.
And so the air comes out, but it's not cool. And
right.
It usually means there's a hole someplace, or you need a whole new system, which I had to do last year.
Right.
I just think of all images that get the crippling was a key word. It almost said it's a different kind of, you don't use that word usually.
Mm-hmm.
You said it's not physical, it's I can't. The mm-hmm. the energy is not there. The normal what's the right word? Combustion or united, I forget what they call it. You put two things together and it becomes combustion together. There's no combustion. You got a human being, and I love people, and I love my, you know, family and so forth, but all of a sudden, and the prayer, it was a good example. Like, you know, you think it's good night time. Well, for the kids, no, it's not. You know, like a teacher, like if you're being like kids in class, keep getting the teacher off the subject because he asks more questions, you know, and you're trying to teach a certain subject, and all of a sudden they're going, but what about this? And what about this? And what about, and a tangent goes over here.
Yes.
And another thing takes a place, you know, they go, pretty soon the class is over.
Right.
Across, it's almost like you wanted to paint a picture and you had no coloring books to color with. Or you said you're absent of void of colors and black, the blackness, you know, so that's very powerful. And you've worked hard at that, because that is not an easy word to use, crippling, but it wasn't physical. And you're just being tired, and so you experienced differently than he did. Yes.
That's right.
That is, and we get tired for different reasons. You're right. We're exhausted emotionally, sometimes exhausted psychologically. Sometimes it's just all the busyness at work, that just, you know, just your head is. I know some people told me that They use the home going home, driving for half hour or so to deprogram.
Yeah.
Deprogram, or if they have to go home, and it has to be 15, 20 minutes of quiet because they can't think. They're just so wrapped up into the emotions of work and traffic. And then once they have the 15, 20 minutes to unwind, then they're human.
Right. Yep.
They're sociable, you know, then they can talk. It's interesting. Each person has that limit that you're talking about of tiredness, and not necessarily going to bed. It's just, I need to be refurbished a bit to hear and to listen. I know when I'm tired, I stop listening. You know, and I want to get through whatever it is to get back to what I want to do. You know, you want to get through the prayer. Okay, kid, let's go.
That's right. Chop, chop.
All right. Amen.
Pray to God fast.
Pretty fast. Right. Actually, Father, you're really right. That's something I really realized, for at least for me, was when I was not able to have that time to commute and decompress and to sort of to debrief and get ready to enter the second part of my life, which is home life, right? So working, but without that, it really took a toll, you know, at home when I wasn't able to, you know. So I really, you know, wanted to make sure that when I realized that that was what's missing, that I tried to spend some time, like when I'm working at home, before I don't just stop working and go downstairs. Cause, you know, it's only 5 seconds walk downstairs and then now you're in that other world where you're used to having a 10, 15 minute drive. So I would stay, I would try to have some time before I went down, even if I heard the kids screaming and talking and making noises that I'm like, what is that? I just have to like stay and take the time that I need so that I can be my best when I go downstairs.
Yeah, I'm very renowned for 10-minute naps. And I can replenish in 10 or 15 minutes.
Wow, I'm jealous.
if I go down, I travel down to Old Mines to see my friends. It's about an hour and a half drive. And many times after about an hour after dinner, I'll just say good night for 10 minutes. And I just lay on the floor, grab a pillow. And then 10, 15 minutes later, I'm fine.
Wow.
And so I do the same thing here at my condo. And sometimes after a couple hours of phone calls and stuff and reading or so forth, I'll tell you it's time for a little 10, 15 minute nap. That's all I need. Or just put the TV on, knock off the sound and say, it's my 10, 15 minute nap. I need to catch up. Then I'm fresh. So that's we all have to learn our own way, the body and spirit, and give each other that gift of that. Otherwise, you know, here you take, you go at 15 minutes every time I want to talk to you. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. Exactly.
But if you give with each other's need, then you're fine. Yes. Well, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for tonight. Have a great evening. And tell
thank
them
you very
the
much.
Kids, you're okay.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
See you next time. I'm so grateful for the guests we had today who shared willingly themselves in their dialogue. And thank you for joining us. I look forward to the next episode when I join you again. Once more.
This has been Marriage, Let's Talk, sponsored by Worldwide Marriage Encounter, the foremost faith-inspired marriage enrichment organization in the world, providing married couples with transformative experiences through couples retreats, small groups, and more. Learn to nurture love in your marriage at WWME.org. Marriage, Let's Talk is a production of Mater Media, the apostolate that offers the Celebrate Catholic Marriage experience to energize and fortify married couples through parish events and the seven-step journey to joy. Find out more at matermedia.org.